More than 3 months away from the start of another NFL season, and expectations maybe never as high for the Cleveland Browns. Browns just wrapped up mini camp this week, and to talk about it and tell us more than that, we'd like to bring in Scotty Petrak from BrownZone.com. Scotty, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing better than you because Brian just told me you just got back from the dentist.
I did, but it went okay.
Oh, great. That's perfect.
Thanks.
Happy gas, laughing gas, Scotty, or no? That's what I love.
It was the second stage of getting a crown put in. First stage was a hard one.
Just went through that.
Right.
I just went through that. Hey, Scotty, not to change the subject, but a couple of months ago I had a molar removed, and I tried to do the show afterwards. It was a train wreck, dude.
I believe you.
He tried to tough it out, Mr. Tough Guy, right? And then all of a sudden the Novocaine wore off. He was done, Scotty. That was it. So thanks for playing through the pain today. We appreciate it. What did we learn, if anything, from this mini camp 3 days and it was mandatory with the Cleveland Browns?
Yeah, I think we learned a decent amount, even though, you know, the practices were pretty not easy, but, you know, there's no contact, nobody's in pads, they weren't crazy intense. But you saw some injury updates, and they were mostly positive. Odell Beckham Jr. looked great. I'm sure you guys have heard that by now, but he really did. Grant Delpit and Greedy Williams were really active participants, and Greedy Williams played a bunch with the first-team defense, which I thought was interesting as both guys come back from missing all of last season. Jadeveon Clowney, it's the first time we got our eyes on him, and he had surgery in December, and he looked really good, I thought. And then, you know, there's a lot made about the offensive guys not showing up until mandatory minicamp, right? Most of the starters skipped all the OTAs, and I really didn't think they missed a beat. You know, it's not like they couldn't get out of the huddle or there were obvious flaws. You know, I thought Baker looked fine, and I thought the offense operated pretty smoothly.
Scotty, what about this defense? Now, with all these new faces, any difference in alignment? Were you able to even be there?
Yeah, we were there all 3 days. Yeah.
Okay, so any different alignments? These guys look quicker to you, faster, different setups, what?
Yeah, it's interesting. We spent a lot of the way, you know, we're still kind of under COVID protocols out there. So they keep us to one side of the field, and then you're kind of prisoner to whoever
right.
is practicing close to you. And there was a lot of the defensive line, which worked out fine because there's a lot of new guys over there. Got a lot of time watching Clowney and Tack McKinley. And I thought you saw more speed and explosion going through the drills from the defensive linemen, especially Clowney and McKinley. I think you could add Tommy Togiai, the rookie D-tackle out of Ohio State, to that group. Malik Jackson, the veteran D-tackle, looked good. A lot of lean, tall guys. And then you have Andrew Billings, who they're going to use as a run stopper, and he's like a fire hydrant. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you look at linebacker and secondary just to try to get a feel, and they were cycling through packages. So you saw nickel, you saw dime, you saw base, and a lot of bodies flowing through. And so it's hard to get a great judge of who's going to be where on the depth chart to start training camp. But I think you do get a real sense that Joe Woods, the coordinator, is going to have a bunch of big variety of packages, right? And it's going to be a base with Billings at D-tackle and Taki at linebacker. And then you got a nickel with, you know, you go, maybe it's Malik Jackson and Tommy Togiai at D-tackle. And then you add either Troy Hill at nickelback or Greg Newsom II at nickelback, or you bring in a third safety, Ronnie Harrison or Grant Delpit. So I just think he has a lot of bodies and a lot of variety that he could create looking for the perfect matchup.
So the focus in my mind is going to be on speed, not physicality. I think of a physical defense like maybe the Pittsburgh Steelers. But the thing is with this team, there is so much speed on the defensive side of the ball. I don't think we've ever seen anything like it, have we?
Yeah, not that comes to mind. And I think you're right. And I think part of that is the philosophy of the defense now, and it's changed. I think part of it's the changing landscape of the league where you know that you have to cover really quick slot receivers. You know, you have to cover tight ends that can stretch the middle of the field running down the seam. You got to cover running backs like Kamara and McCaffrey and Kareem Hunt, right? So if you have these guys on offense that bring this speed and these matchup difficulties, a defense has to figure out a way to combat that. And I think the best way is speed. Now, I think there's a legitimate question to be asked is, okay, when you play the Ravens of the world that go two and three tight ends and run the ball a bunch, how do you counter that? Or if New England wants to do that. And Joe Woods, the coordinator, is like, yeah, we can handle that. It's not, we're not just about speed. We're not just about being small and fast. Like you think of when you, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, that's kind of the guy that jumps to mind. But like I mentioned, they have Billings. They have Taki Taki. They have some bigger linebackers. So it'll be interesting to see kind of the different body types that wind up making this 53-man roster.
All right, Scotty, what about OBJ? Fill us in. What did you see? What did he do? What didn't he do? Is he on schedule, ahead of schedule? What's up with Odell Beckham Jr.?
I would say ahead of schedule. I mean, it's only been 7 months since he had the ACL surgery. It was November 10th. And, you know, we saw the progress on social media, but to see it in person I thought was important. Excuse me. I thought he looked really good. He ran routes. He jumped. He caught balls. The first day, it was only individual drills. The second day, he would kind of sprinkle into the non-contact 11-on-11s and get a sense of how the offense, you know, how the play works as a whole. And then the third day, as planned, he didn't practice. He rode the bike, worked on the side, and then watched. And that was just part of the plan. So I think when you get to training camp, maybe he still takes, whether it's every third day or every fourth day off, or maybe he stays out of contact drills for a while. But unless there's a setback, I think there's no doubt he's going to be 100% come week one.
Scotty Petrak, our guest, thrilled to have him via the Wake'em Way hotline. Check him out on a daily basis at brownzone.com. Follow him on Twitter at Scott Petrak. All right, so we go from OBJ, things are looking good, to one of the other topics that you guys got to discuss with not only the, you know, the head coach, but the players themselves, and we'll go to Nick Chubb and Baker Mayfield contract extensions. What's the latest on an extension for either one of those players, Scotty?
Yeah, that was a hot topic, like you mentioned. You know, Nick Chubb, I thought one of the newsworthy things, and, you know, there's no definites to any of these guys, you know, any of these situations. The agents and the Browns are talking, at least that's what Denzel Ward and Nick Chubb said of their agents. Baker Mayfield said he's in no rush, and I think we're still at least a few weeks away from any significant talks there, if they in fact happen. But I thought Nick Chubb saying Cleveland's where he wants to be, and I know a lot of guys say that, but it really felt sincere to me. And he also said, hey, I don't like uncertainty. And I know what I have with the Browns. I know the players. I know the coaches. I know the area. And I really think that just fits with Chubb's personality, that he's not looking to go start over somewhere else. Now, if the Browns lowball him and offer him way less than he would get on the open market, he might change his tune. But I feel like, and I came out of that interview thinking, okay, the Browns are going to be able to get something done with Nick Chubb. Now, I don't know if that'll be, you know, before training camp or during training camp, or, you know, if the Browns say, hey, we're going to wait until after the season, make sure you make it through healthy. We have the franchise tag if we need to use it, and then try to work something out. But I think it'll be sooner than that. I think in, you know, late July, early August, you'll have a Nick Chubb extension, which makes sense because he's the first guy coming up, right?
Right.
Baker Mayfield and Denzel Ward both have that fifth-year option for 2022 that Nick Chubb doesn't have because he was a second-round pick.
Scotty, Baker and the contract extension, do you think the Browns want to see maybe through the first eight games something before they commit $35, $40 million a year to him, or are they already a believer?
I think they're a believer, Kenny. I really do. And to me, either get the contract done before the season or you wait until the season's over.
Right.
I guess in a, you know, special circumstance, you could do it at the halfway mark, but you don't see that happen a lot. So I think the Browns have decided that he's their guy. Now, it's always going to come down to money, right? Are they going to make him the offer that Baker and his representatives feel is he's worthy of? And that meets the market or exceeds the market. And it's a little bit difficult to tell right now because Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen have not signed their contracts. So you're kind of working off Patrick Mahomes, which we don't expect anybody to get to. And then you have Dak Prescott, and then you have Deshaun Watson, about, I think they're $39 and $40 million. It feels like Baker hasn't played to that level yet. But that's what the Browns are expecting. And do they pay him like that? Does Baker say, hey, unless you pay me like that, I'm just going to keep playing out the contract? I think that's what will be hammered out at some point. And now both sides, or one side could say, hey, let's wait. Let's see what happens in 2021. And then if Baker plays great, and Baker could make this decision himself, hey, if I play great, all of a sudden I'm going to get $45 million a year, which might be $8 or $10 million more than I would get if I signed the contract now. Maybe he bets on himself, and he said he's done that throughout his life. Maybe he bets on himself, and then the Browns have no choice but to pay him that kind of money. And I think they'd be happy to pay him if he played like that. But I just feel like they already know he's their guy. Lock him in, maybe save a little money, and have salary cap certainty for when you try to sign guys like Chubb and Ward, you know, and maybe Wyatt Teller.
Interesting. You know, we're no stranger to this. Being Cleveland sports fans, you can go back from Albert Bell all the way to Francisco Lindor. But my question's got to be this, Scotty. When we start talking these enormous contracts that we see, is there any way moving forward that the Cleveland Browns would be a way to afford Denzel, Nick, and Baker all at the same time?
I don't think there's any doubt about that. The cap's going to keep getting bigger. The Browns have $20 million right now in salary cap space. It's expected to jump next year, and that's even before the new TV deals kick in. So, yeah, I think they sign all three of those guys. I'm not as confident they'll spend big money on right guard Wyatt Teller because they're spending big money across the line elsewhere. Now, maybe that changes if he has another outstanding year and improves his pass protection. But I think it's in the Browns' budget and in their plans to sign Mayfield, Ward, and Chubb to extensions, and they already have Myles Garrett under contract from a year ago. And when you talk, you know, I know the Cleveland fans get a little skittish, right? Mm-hmm. But the fact is, Baker's not going to make any more money anywhere else, right? Lindor was, the Indians just weren't going to pay him. The Browns are in position to pay him as much as anybody else in the league. So if Baker leaves, it's not going to be because the Browns didn't try to pay him. And I don't have any sense that Baker wants to leave. You know, I think he feels comfortable here. I think he's helped turn this team around, and then it becomes, okay, let's find the right number and make it work.
Scott Petrick, our guest, via the Wake 'em Way hotline, talking Browns minicamp. It is over. They have what, the rest of the summer off until July 27th when camp begins, correct, Scotty?
Yeah, they haven't announced the official schedule, but that's the date that they can start camp, yep.
All right, so can we expect Baker to hold another passing camp, or was that already done in Austin, Texas? Is there any other thing that might go on in Berea where it's voluntary versus non-voluntary, or what?
No, we're done. It didn't sound like Baker was going to plan another training session because he was asked about that. And, you know, I don't know if he just thought, hey, they got enough work in with the one in Florida and the one in Texas and then this mini camp. Know if he felt like, hey, let's just take a break. I know there's, you know, the NFL released, or they didn't release it, but there's a memo about COVID protocols and,
right,
you know, they're kind of down on guys meeting outside the facility if everybody's not vaccinated, so that could be an issue. So I think they're comfortable with where they're at. I think the fact that Baker and a lot of those guys had worked out together and had been in those virtual meetings for the last couple of months, that they came in and impressed Kevin Stefanski and coordinator Alex Van Pelt with their comfort level in the offense, their knowledge of the system. And I think that was one of the kind of takeaways from minicamp was, okay, the offense looks pretty good. The guys are up to speed.
All right, what about the remaining rookies that are unsigned? Any concern that they are still unsigned? And what is it, two, right? The first-round pick, Newsom, and the third-round pick, the wide receiver, right?
Yeah, no, not really. I mean, it's a little interesting that Schwartz hasn't signed. I don't know if, you know, I doubt that the hamstring injury that's kept him out the last few weeks has anything to do with that. Off the top of my head, I don't know who his agent is. But both those guys will get done. I expect both guys to get done before training camp. You know, we could have the Greg Newsom news really at any moment. He switched agents. Now he's with Drew Rosenhaus. So I think that was a stumbling block, but now with Rosenhaus, it should get done. So I wouldn't worry about it at all.
He must be good if he's with Drew Rosenhaus. Drew doesn't go to players that aren't going to make money. So we'll see how that plays out. Scotty, last thing, and we'll let you go. the expectations. For me, I look at the Browns as the third best team in the AFC. I go Chiefs, I go Bills, I go Browns, followed by the Ravens. So two teams in the AFC North in my top four, if you will. But I expect the Browns to be battling for an AFC championship. Number one, where do you have them ranked now that you've seen them in mini camp and the offseason is pretty much complete? And number two, how do you think they will handle the high expectations from media members like myself, you, and maybe others who are picking them to challenge this year?
Yeah, I have them fourth. I think it's a toss-up with the Ravens, but given the Ravens beat them twice last year, I would go Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore, Cleveland. But I think Cleveland's right in there with Baltimore and Buffalo, and I think there's a gap to Kansas City just because they've won the AFC the last 2 years and they have Patrick Mahomes playing quarterback for them. But I think the Browns are AFC contenders. I don't think there's any way to get around that. And their overall roster might be better, but their quarterback, and, you know, Baker played well at the end of last year, but he hasn't played to the level of Jackson, Allen, and Mahomes yet. And to me, until he does, that's still a question mark, and that's something that needs to be proven. As far as handling expectations, I think they'll be okay. I think the roster is more mature than it was a couple of years ago when they didn't handle expectations. I think Baker is certainly more mature. You had a lot of veteran guys. I think the coach is a way better coach and more well-positioned to handle it than Freddie Kitchens was. So I think it's something to keep an eye on, but I don't think it's something that's going to, you know, sabotage the season.
Scotty, great stuff as always, not only with us, but with BrownZone.com. Seriously, keep up the fantastic work. We're going to let you go for a couple of weeks. We won't bother you on a Friday to interrupt your 18 holes on a Friday afternoon. So enjoy your time off like the players are, and then when we get close to training camp, we'll